And our guest at this time is a big-time fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's with us every Friday at this time, our buddy Ryan Fowler of Fox Sports. Fowler, how are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing great. We were talking offline how rainy it's been down here. I mean, Noah's Ark is probably going to become floating by here shortly. It's a little sloppy right now, and I'm 47. My birthday's on Tuesday, and I'm like, man, I hope this weather turns before that, because the last thing I want is cloudy weather on the big day.
You turn 26 on Tuesday, correct?
I wish I was at BGSU, Andy. That's what I wish I was at. Because, again, the trials and tribulations of adulting, I think, as they call it. The kids call it now adulting. It's a little tricky to grind away every day, you know.
Right. The kids call it adulting. We called it growing up back when we were that age. But regardless, hey, you know, however you want to slice that up. But anyway, and you were in Bowling Green last week.
Yeah. I was up there for the NFL media boot camp. And I'll tell you what, it was really cool. There's a lot of talented former and even current players that are looking to get into broadcasting and different forms of media after they're done with their career. I know Lance Moore, who went to the University of Toledo, he was one of the stars of that little boot camp. And I know he's going to be on NFL Network here in the next few weeks. He actually joined the Fox Sports Fantasy podcast to do some post-draft analysis for us, and you can check out that podcast on our site. So very cool to be back up there, and got a little poly eyes for the road, so some good snacks up there.
Man, oh man, oh man, I just wish that place was closer. We're a little bit too far away for me to make that day trip, but it could be some traveling involved on our behalf when it comes time for high school baseball and softball tournament time. There may be a game in and around the BG area, so we'll see if we can talk to top men here, see if we might be able to make a trip out that direction. Well, I know you guys have some fantasy football stuff. We're going to get to that in just a second. I want to throw a couple of fantasy baseball questions your way first before we get into fantasy football. Keith Farnsworth posted something on Twitter a little bit earlier today that I wanted to throw your direction. He posted this question, buy or sell on Bryce Harper as the current best player in fantasy baseball. What say you, Mr. Fowler?
Wow, that's loaded. Trout's pretty balanced, too. It's not, and I think what happens is you get into this conversation of Harper versus Trout from a consistency standpoint. And here's the thing. Throughout the course of their career, Harper has had more lows than Mike Trout. The thing is, Mike Trout just does it a lot quieter out on the left coast. So I have to lean Trout only because there are moments in time where Harper will go through a little bit of funk. And it's almost like he just overthinks the game, where I think Trout, it comes a little bit more naturally. I think that's also that internal motor of both of those guys, where Harper runs hot and Trout kind of just keeps it cool and calm. There are some other guys right now in fantasy baseball that, I mean, Aaron Judge might not be able to hit a curveball, but he's hitting everything else right now for the Yankees. He just had another double earlier this afternoon as he continues to mash. I know a lot of buy and sell questions are coming around him, too. And I think for the haul you could get out of Judge, as young as he is, I think selling right now at the highs, you could, if you can get a pretty good haul out of that, which I'm actually considering. I actually got Judge off the waiver wire a few weeks ago, and I definitely need some help in a bunch of areas, so I'm thinking about trading right now. But to answer your original question, I would take Trout over Harper.
Ryan, I've been watching the Texas Rangers here the last couple of days. They've got 12 home runs in their last five games. Is there anyone in particular I should be looking at from that roster?
Well, the interesting story out of there, their pitching's been awful, but from the offensive standpoint, Joey Gallo is definitely turning into the prospect that they had hoped. He had some injury issues over the last few years, and then the big thing was strikeouts. There's definitely been a lot more patience at the plate. Yes, he strikes out a ton right now, but so did Adam Dunn, and Adam Dunn had a nice career, right? So yeah. Gallo's power and ownership percentages are relatively low enough where you could go out there and snag that up. Adrian Beltre's timeline of coming back is a little bit of cloudy right now. They say late May at the latest, but I still think they'll find a way to get both of those guys in the lineup. They sent Jerks and Profar back down as it just hasn't worked out since he had a couple shoulder injuries back-to-back years throughout his rise through the ranks trying to get into the pros, and he just kind of ran out of space and ran out of time, so he's in the minors right now. But Gallo is probably the most exciting right now.
Ryan Fowler of Fox Sports is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. He has another website you should check out called OhioMemories.com. We'll stick with one more fantasy baseball question, and then we'll dive into some fantasy football stuff. Boy, injuries are just killing everybody in fantasy baseball this year. You know, from Kluber to Kinsler to Syndergaard, injuries have knocked a lot of folks down in the month of April and into May. When you look out there, and this is another loaded question, but who are some of the viable replacements out there that you can try and get your hands on as a rental for a month or two?
We had an exhausting conversation about this very topic in the office yesterday, because here's the thing. It's an understatement to say the DL is loaded right now. The DL, from a quality fantasy option standpoint, I mean, that's an all-star team of people that are on the DL right now. And what happens is, you have something like Madison Bumgarner falling off the dirt bike, and everybody rushes to the waiver wire because they need Madison Bumgarner light to carry them over until he comes back, which is this indefinite timetable. Then you have Syndergaard go down. So then you have Madison and Syndergaard and people looking for every strikeout guy out there. I mean, I hate to not have an answer on this, but it is so picked over right now. You're going to have to get really creative. And what I mean by creative is you're going to have to read a lot of tea leaves, and you're going to have to look for guys that, I mean, to say it's a Band-Aid, you're going to be getting ERAs that are over 4 at this point. And that's not what you want on a fantasy roster. You want guys below 3.8, below 3.9, just to compete in 5x5 roto categories right now. I think on the offensive side of things, pitching's one. On the offensive side of things, there are some Band-Aids out there. I think one guy that saw a huge spike in ownership percentage this week because of the injuries to outfielders was Michael Conforto of the New York Mets. At last check, he was just over 50% ownership because Cespedes is on the DL for the Mets. So Conforto, one of their best prospects, started to hit the ball around a little bit. If you dig a little deeper, Hernan Perez has multiple position eligibility out of the Milwaukee Brewers organization, and that team's a lot better than I think a lot of people thought. That offense is clicking. But here's the thing. You go to Milwaukee and you say Hernan Perez. Ryan Braun, one of the top picks in the game as far as outfielders go, he's got some injury right now that doesn't really have a diagnosis. So now we're in this, like, wait-and-see mode. But it was crazy reading Twitter last night during the evening affairs and just beat writers updating, this guy left the game with an injury, this guy left the game with an injury. And it was usually hamstring, oblique, calf. I mean, collect all five. They are putting people on the DL. And I'm thinking that most leagues that have DL spots have 2 at the most. I'm thinking, to be fair to teams this year, there should be some in-season voting to expand that DL spot from 2 to 3, if not 4, because there's so many talented guys on the DL and there's not enough roster spots.
Seems like a lot of guys are having that very same issue, just trying to find somebody that's somewhat serviceable to fill the spot vacated by someone that has been injured. Ryan Fowler is our guest here from Fox Sports. Let's transition into some pigskin now. You mentioned before that we do have some fantasy football news. You guys actually already have your rankings up for next year. So my question is, you know, when you take a look at the way the receiver position has evolved, it really kind of has become what the running back position was in fantasy football back in the late 90s. If you're to rank the top 3 wideouts right now, who goes at the top of your list?
Yeah, and just to clarify, we'll have our rankings out on Monday. We do have our rookie rankings out, our fit, like all players considered. Those will be out Monday afternoon. But I do have behind the scenes, which we haven't published yet. Me personally, from a wide receiver standpoint, I'm leaning Odell Beckham over Antonio Brown this year. I think there can be a case made that that is an apples-to-apples comparison as far as amount of targets. I don't want to discredit Antonio Brown because he's been so consistent for so long, and him and Ben, they click. But how many games is Ben Roethlisberger going to play this year? I mean, that body, he was flirting with retiring after the last offseason. He's coming back. Do you get 13 games out of him? If you don't, is Antonio Brown as good? Because my thought is Eli Manning's going to play in at least 16 games. For better or for worse, him and Odell work. So those are the top 1 and 1A. And then I've moved Mike Evans ahead of Julio Jones. I like Julio Jones. I know he's one of the elite guys over the last decade. But Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator, is now with San Francisco. He was the OC of the Falcons last year. Julio Jones seems to have a hammier toe that he fights through and still produces at crazy levels. Not to say he's not top 5. I just think Mike Evans, the Buccaneers, and Jameis Winston are going to take another step this year. So Odell, Antonio Brown, and Mike Evans are my top three.
Hey, Ryan, he brings up a good point with the receiver sort of being now what the running back used to be. I know everyone used to clamor over running backs for that first overall pick, but it doesn't seem like that position's what it used to be. It seems like Ezekiel Elliott may be the last of a dying breed, a guy who can be in there for a majority of the game. Does that seem to be true, or there's some other guys out there that people should be looking at?
Yeah, that first round is a pendulum that has kind of definitely gone in the favor of wide receivers because – Most leagues are now PPR, points per reception. So you're looking for that top-tier wide receiver. Plus, the other thing we learned by doing these top 200 rankings that are coming out Monday, you have the elite wide receivers, of which a couple I just mentioned. The second and third tiers of wide receivers in the NFL, they're all the same. There's like a million guys out there that catches 55 balls per year. But there's only a few that get you the 80 to 90 that puts them in that elite company. So when you look at running back this year, yeah, Zeke is going to be one of the first guys off the board, but Le'Veon Bell, PPR settings, he's a monster. If he can stay out of trouble and not be suspended the first 2 weeks, that's where he becomes even more valuable. And then David Johnson of Arizona is definitely putting some pressure on Le'Veon Bell as far as consistency and being able to catch out of the backfield. Because Zeke, he's not going to catch that much, but David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, they're going to be busy in that passing game.
Ryan Fowler of Fox Sports, our guest, as he is every single Friday. We'll cut you loose on this one, my friend. And this has to do with our daily food for thought, which today is brought to you by Anchors Grill and Deli. We're talking Polish boys. I'm guessing you've had a Polish boy or two in your day, have you not?
I have.
What's the best Polish boy you've ever had?
Man. That's a tough one because my my grandparents would make them for us. Wow. And there's something about home cooking there that really kind of, it takes me back to believe it or not. My grandparents grew up in Parma and a lot of Polish heritage out there and all the snack. And food was a big theme on the Reedy side, my mom's side of the family. I would have to say my grandparents. I know it sounds, family, yeah. That's the direction I'm going to go because, man, I just remember there was the dumplings, there was those, I can't remember the cookies, but they have the powdered sugar and then they have the jelly in the middle. I mean, the theme of a lot of our holidays and yes! They were just incredible snacks over there on the Reedy side over there in Parma. And that's my best memory probably of some of those times spent over there with my relatives.
Well, we always appreciate you making time for us. Mr. Fowler, a pleasure to have you on. You said the rankings will be available on Monday at foxsports.com, correct?
You got it.
All righty. Well, we appreciate you stopping by as always. Make sure you check out Ryan Fowler's other website, also ohiomemories.com. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
Go Cavs. Take care.